record?
All right, everyone, I'm going to call the meeting. I'm going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Thursday, June 1st, 2017, Representative Barbara Smith Warner's 50th birthday. We're all here to celebrate. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3454.
Just one second.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3454 was originally heard on May 25th. It requires school districts that participate in National School Lunch Program provide any students who ask with lunch, regardless of whether a student has money to pay or owes money. Student is prohibited from requiring student to throw away lunch after it's served. If student owes money for five or more meals, school district must make at least two attempts to contact parent or guardian to determine if student is eligible for free or reduced lunch. If student is not eligible or application is not completed, administrator or counselor is to offer appropriate assistance to parent or guardian to determine issues that resulted in student not being able to pay for lunch. You have a -1 amendment. It removes the requirement that administrator or counselor offer appropriate assistance to parent or guardian to determine issues that are resulted in student not being able to pay for lunch. It does require school district to make reasonable effort to contact parent or guardian and offer assistance on application. You have a no revenue. You have an indeterminate fiscal statement, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move the -1 amendment to House Bill 3454.
Vice Chair McLean has moved the -1 amendment to House Bill 3454. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3454 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean has moved House Bill 3454 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Madam Chair, the only discussion I have is I want to thank Representative Smith Warner for blowing the shofar earlier and declaring Jubilee, which is appropriate on your 50th birthday. And I think this bill symbolizes that and is great for your birthday gift. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McLean.
Any further discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Representative McLean will carry this. I will close the work session. I will open a work session on HCR 24.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 24 was originally heard on April 4th. It requires all committees and subcommittees of Oregon Legislature to accept remote testimony given by remote video conferencing link. It suspends the rule until a legislative administrator reports that adequate technology and infrastructure are in place to allow for witnesses to testify remotely. You have a -2 amendment. It permits the President of the Senate and Speaker of the House to authorize all committees of the legislature to accept remote testimony via video conferencing. Legislative administrator and director of legislative policy and research office will determine minimum amount of time in advance of hearing that witnesses must give notice of their interest to testify remotely. You do have a no revenue, and a fiscal statement was issued on the -2.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move the -2 amendment to HCR 24.
Vice Chair McLean has moved the -2 amendments to HCR 24. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move HCR 24 to the floor with a be adopted as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean has moved HCR 24 to the floor with a be adopted as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Hack. I will close that work session. I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2213.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2213, I will direct your attention to the -3 amendment, which replaces the original measure. It establishes Oregon Conservation and Recreation Fund for purpose of carrying out lawful activities that protect, maintain, or enhance fish and wildlife resources in Oregon. Activities may include promotion of conservation programs and strategies identified in Oregon Conservation Strategy, improving engagement of public and educational outreach in support of healthy fish, wildlife, and habitats, and other conservation management, research, habitat improvement, enforcement, outdoor recreation, or education activities. It establishes the Oregon Conservation and Recreation Advisory Committee as advisory committee to State Fish and Wildlife Commission. State Fish and Wildlife Commission will determine size and geographical representation of the committee members that the governor will appoint. The committee will review policies of State Department of Fish and Wildlife and make recommendations to the Wildlife Commission and the department regarding implementation activities by the Oregon Conservation Research Fund. The measure appropriates $11 million to the Oregon Conservation Research Fund from the general fund for the 2017-19 biennium. There is an emergency clause on the measure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, we did receive a fiscal impact as it does appropriate $11 million in this biennium. It does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you. And colleagues, I want to call your attention to OLIS. There, because of the floor session, we have an abbreviated committee time today. And so there were several folks who agreed to just submit their written testimony. So please check out OLIS. There is at least a half dozen folks and organizations who submitted testimony. Representative Helm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For your record, Ken Helm, State Representative for House District 34. Thank you very much for hearing us today and considering this bill. My purpose here is to impress upon you all the tremendous amount of work that the task force for the consideration of the ODFW budget did this summer. We met 30 or more members of both the public and four members of the House and Senate met what seemed like dozens of times, but it wasn't quite that, and worked very, very hard to address the following problem. Year over year for the last decade at least, hunting and fishing license sales have been declining, and that has put a tremendous crimp in ODFW's budget because they depend for more than half of their budget on those license fees. And there is no solution in sight to that trend, at least not at the moment. So we were tasked with finding a different funding mechanism. Several funding mechanisms were discussed, and the time is not right and during this session to consider them. But the time is right to consider adopting a place for a fund if we get the money in the future, and some of the folks here will talk about that. The idea is to create the Oregon Conservation and Recreation Fund so that if monies are appropriated either here by the state legislature or through gift or grant, they can go in that fund and be available to fund primarily the Oregon Wildlife Conservation Strategy. And the reason that that strategy needs to be funded, and it hasn't been adequately funded so far, is to better manage our total wildlife portfolio so that we satisfy both the hunters and the fishermen in the state, but also the growing number of non-consumptive users, the bird watchers, the kayakers, the whitewater rafters, the folks that are not paying their fair share right now. And a lot of those folks are my constituents and your constituents from the urban areas that go out to the wonderful parts of the rest of the state and enjoy what we've got to do there. So let's honor that work by doing creating this fund. We're asking for $11 million from the co-chairs. We don't have any illusions of getting that, but the amount is intentional, and some of the other folks that are here can explain why that amount is important and how we may qualify in the future for a federal match of that money through efforts at the federal level to better fund fish and wildlife agencies in the nation. Thank you.
Madam Chair, for the record, Sal Esquivel representing District 6, Medford. What we're looking at is an overall view of the state of Oregon. As it stands now, the people that hunt and fish and trap foot most of the bill. Yet, the wildlife belongs to everyone in the state, and it should be everyone's responsibility, not just the people that hunt and fish and trap. What we've done, and I think there's been some excellent work done on this, is we've had a committee that went out and just decided there's different avenues in order to raise money. But on this money that we get, even if we end up being successful this next session, if we're successful at it, I want to make sure we put sideboards on this. We have about $96 million in back maintenance in ODF&W right now. I would like to make sure, ensure that we take and target that money that we get from this venture and take care of not only the back maintenance, but also in the future to have an availability to, and I'm going to give you the best example I think that benefits so many people, and that is to start working on our problem in Eastern Oregon with the habitat of our sage grouse, and that is due to the western juniper. If we can start eradicating juniper and taking it out of areas that it doesn't belong, what it does is that, one, the water level comes back. Two, the native grasses come back. Three, you can run livestock in it, which is good for it because it keeps it down. Four, mule deer habitat comes back. And five, the sage grouse will flourish. These are the kind of projects we need to be involved with, because right now, example on that one, it takes $15 million a year just to break even with the juniper, because it's going out about 150,000 acres per year expansion, which in turn means the sage grouse are losing 150,000 acres per year because they will not go around a tree. So these are kinds of some of the issues we'd like to do, but we'd not like to make sure, I would like to make sure that we have sideboards on it to where we control exactly where this money does go and the purpose of it. Thank you.
For the record, Arnie Roblin, Senate District 5, and Chair Williamson, I appreciate being in this committee room. It was one of my favorites. I actually got to chair this committee, the privilege of that a few years ago. And I'm here because this has been a passion since I came here. Was put in charge, was a vice chair to a Republican chair in the Ag and Natural Resources Committee when I first came here, and then became the chair, and my previous chair became my vice chair, and we had a great relationship because we care about those rural areas of the state. And the truth is, when most people think of Oregon, they think of our abundance of natural resources, they think of our wildlife, they think of our mountains and our streams. They actually come here, they come to the coast in millions of people to see the wonders that we have. And the reality is, we don't have the resources in our state government to do justice to those, and especially in fish and wildlife. And if you look at the decline of the general fund that we've done, I mean, I think we should be putting 5%. We're at less than 2% right now. But I believe if we really look at who Oregon is to the rest of the world, and even to Oregonians, this bill is about trying to figure out how do we capture as much resources as we can. I have been harassed for the bills that I have introduced, whether it was a binocular tax, which would pay, if you had your hunting license, you didn't have to pay the tax because they're already paying the bill, to a bird seed tax. That caused me a lot of grief in elections and everything else. But the reality is, they come from my heart that says all Oregonians need to be paying. And if we're not going to take it out of the general fund, then let's find ways in which all of us can make a contribution to taking care of these natural resources, exactly the things my other two people have spoken about. We put together a work group last year. I commend Representative Helm for making that come together and bringing people who really do care about Oregon and this issue all together to have conversations, and they had conversations about everything. This is one part of that, and I commend them for getting this part out there and looking for other sources to help make it. I will say that Representative McClain and I have this little bill that we would love to get some money for with respect to septic systems. The reality is, we put it out there because we know there's a really big problem, and we've got to help solve it, and we want other people to help us solve that as well. So we got $250,000, it made it to $1 million or more of loans to people because people outside said this is important. We want the federal government to happily give us some extra money to match our money. And if they can do it in 3 or 4 to 1, that would be really helpful. So we did it with ocean research by putting out a fund, getting it in place to first, and now we're trying to figure out how do we get those other groups of people, including the federal government, to help us do the things that we know are the right things to do for Oregon. And all we're asking is to take all that hard work that was put together by a whole bunch of Oregonians who care about these things and came up with a few ideas to move forward, to make sure that we have this fund, that we put some money into it so that we can actually go out and get that money from the federal government and from others so that we can start doing justice to the natural resource base that we have, and both conservation and others. I mean, it shouldn't just be born on the backs of hunting and fishing licenses. It needs to be born on the backs of all Oregonians in different ways. And I am still proud of my bird seed tax and my other taxes, only because I need people in the urban areas to recognize, and they do, actually. I talk to them all the time, and they say, we love going out and doing things in those areas, and there are times when they think that my whole area is a park, and I don't particularly appreciate that. But that being said, The reality is they want to pay their fair share. We've got to figure out how to make that happen, and if we can help the federal government see the same thing, it would be helpful. So thank you very much, and I hope you listen to these wonderful Oregonians that came here and put their own time in this last summer to bring this bill to you today. Thank you very much.
Questions for this panel? Yes. Senator Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So reading in Section 1, it says the Oregon Conservation and Recreation Advisory Committee will then advise the state Fish and Wildlife Commission. So you have an advisory committee advising the state commission. And what do they advise them on?
I can answer that, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Representative Barreto. The idea for having an advisory committee which would advise on the dispersal of the funds from this fund is to have a control mechanism on how ODFW spends this particular money. I guess a fair statement is that among both user groups and other folks that observe closely ODFW and how it does its work and the way it spends its money, over the years, there's been substantial disagreement and discomfort about how the department and the commission has decided to do that. And whether those impressions are correct or not doesn't matter as much as giving some confidence to the public that if we are going to ask them to contribute through their tax dollars into this fund, that it will be used for the purposes of funding the Oregon conservation strategy. So that's the reason that the advisory committee was deemed to be necessary in this case, but just for this pot of money.
Okay, that was my question. Just for this $11 million that you're wanting, and then you're wanting to have that backed by three or four times by the federal government?
We would hope that that's an eventuality. And again, the number that Representative Esquivel mentioned in the $90 million range, their proposal, tax proposals and revenue-raising proposals that came out of the task force that sought that same amount of money per biennium. So that's the amount that we need on an ongoing basis to execute the Oregon Wildlife Strategy, and that would come outside of general funds. So that's, again, if we're going to ask the public to contribute in a special way to Oregon Fish and Wildlife for all users, we want to protect that money and make sure it gets spent over time in that manner.
One more follow-up. So this commission, it says the government will appoint the members. Are they confirmed by the Senate?
I do not believe that the bill contemplates that at this point.
No questions for this panel. All right, colleagues, I am actually going to put this public hearing into recess and open a public hearing on HCR 39 since we have members here. So you stay there, Senator. Senator Hansel, come on up. Got our reps over there. We can squeeze all four of you in.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 39 expresses intent of Legislative Assembly to support continued coordination and collaboration between Oregon and China to increase trade opportunities and strengthen mutual economic development relationship. We have no revenue, no fiscal impact on the resolution.
Go right ahead.
I want to get home.
I was going to say, we got to get Jeff Barker out of here so we can go home and go to bed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. I'm strong supporter of this bill. I've been on a couple trips to China, and we're trying to establish business relationships between China and the United States, but especially here in Oregon, trying to get more business generated. And I think also it's just always important, especially after the long history since the 70 years ago between China and the United States, it's important to have the people-to-people relationships, which will help foster understanding and hopefully peace in the future.
Thank you.
I'll see if I can. And I'm going to run if I may.
Yeah, yes, please. Sure.
Thank you. Well, go ahead.
So, again, Arnie Roblin, Senate District 5. Thank you, Chair Williamson and the committee. This was an organization, the Sister School City Relationship, that, or the Sister State Relationship. I got involved actually then Representative Richardson came to me and said, hey, wouldn't you like to do this? And I thought, maybe. So I got involved, and as time went on, took a trip to China with him. Later, when he left, took over helping organize those trips to China. It really is all about economic development. We talk about this in our country all the time, that we are an importer. We are not an exporter. The state of Oregon, on the other hand, is an exporter. We export more than we import. We have a positive flow from our state to other places. And China and Canada are one and two. I think China is now number one. The relationships that we've made because of the sister state relationship, I think, are bonds that connect our people back and forth. As Representative has said before, getting to know people on a one-to-one relationship helps those conversations go on, and you start to do things like allow our berries to go to China and other places, allow our shrimp to go to those places, allow our crab, often flown live over there. So those, and then their tourists coming here, their kids. We have more Confucius schools in our state than any other state in the nation. It is a really important relationship that we have forged over many years, the longest relationship between China and a U.S. state that exists in the country. And so from my perspective, anything we can do to help continue that positive relationship in trade amongst people back and forth is something we need to do. So I encourage you to pass this bill and move it onto the floor and eventually get over to the Senate. It's a great piece of legislation that explains the relationship, the unique relationship that we have. I actually got to sign the relationship with Tianjin, the city-state, basically, that they have over there, and ours. So with that, I'll leave it to my other two friends. He wants to finish up, and he likes that.
Sorry.
I tried to get you as far as I can. I'll move over here.
No, that's all right. Chair Williamson, for the record, my name is Bill Hansel, State Senator for District 29. I would echo the thoughts of my colleague from Coos Bay. I think this is a great program. I've had the opportunity to also travel to China on this program with Arnie and Smith Warner, and I were on the same, Representative Smith Warner on the same tour a year ago. In addition to all of the seafood that my colleague from Coos Bay said are shipped, a lot of Oregon wheat from my district goes down the Columbia and out of the Port of Portland to China and the Far East. So it's very important that we maintain this working relationship, and I would urge your support as well.
Jerry Williamson, committee, Representative David Brock Smith, House District 1. And to add to my colleague's testimony, the bill's pretty straightforward in where the resolution outlines the economic development benefits to the state of Oregon. Personally, in my district, in my former life as a county commissioner, we have 99% of the cranberries are grown in Oregon, are grown in my district. And we were having some serious issues in regards to getting those products over to China, and China prefers our cranberries in Oregon rather than those that are grown in other countries and back east. It just so happened they had the Made in Rural America White House forums, one of which in at the Abernathy Center in Clackamas County that I went to and sought out the foreign policy director for the USDA. The problem is they wouldn't issue a phytosanitary certification on the frozen cranberry product, and it's difficult to get them over there fresh. After years of cranberry growers trying to get this done, it sometimes is where you're at and who you know. And that was the case with this situation. We were able to work with the foreign policy director for the USDA and get them to change their administrative rule, working with Dennis Hannipole at the ODA. And now we can export not only cranberries out of my district, but blueberries, strawberries, and cherries. And not just in the state of Oregon, but Washington and Idaho. Those four products in Oregon are over a $400 million market, if I remember correctly. And so that's just one example of the economic development benefits of our agricultural products that we can ship over to China. And this resolution, I'm the new to the Oregon China Sister State Relations Council and the new Southern Oregon China Connection Chair, and replacing former Representative Buckley, as well as the recently appointed to the Pacific Northwest Economic Region, PNWAR. And so I appreciate the support and, of course, the really the message that this sends, that Oregon is open to business for China, and we appreciate the economic development relationships that occur, and we look forward to growing them. And I'll finish with Chinese e-commerce is a growing industry, not just in the United States and not just in Oregon. There's 416 million e-commerce users in China. 416 million. And once we are starting to, through the Oregon Sister China Relations Council, opening that market up to Oregon and our businesses, we have the potential to really take this full speed ahead. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Questions? All right, thank you very much. I'm going to close the public hearing on HCR 39 and open a work session on HCR 39.
Madam Chair, I move HCR 39 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean has moved HCR 39 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Brock Smith. Thank you. I will close that work session. I will reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2213. Call up Marianne Nash and Peggy Lynch.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, because you're in a hurry, I'll end Marianne's later. really quickly, the League of Women Voters of Oregon worked on House Bill 2402 to get it passed and create this task force. We followed the task force work, and we support and have continued to support funding for the Oregon Conservation Plan. I want to correct something really quickly. We follow all 14 natural resource agency budgets, and House Bill 5010, which is the budget for ODF&W this session, has $28 million in general fund and $5 million in lottery funds. Although that's not near the amount of money that come from licenses and fees, I just want you to say that at least Oregonians are working towards trying to support these efforts. We have concerns with forming yet another group. We know what the issues are, and we know that we need a long-term dedicated funding for this and for other natural resource agencies. We work, we support the on-site septic loan program and helped it get started, so we're hoping for money for that. We're hoping for DEQ to have wastewater permitting dollars so they can get that done. We want WRD's groundwater studies and place-based planning. We want a staffer to help with DLCD and the Housing and Community Services to help our local communities with housing issues. So for those reasons, we have concerns about the $11 million in the bill, and we're happy to help and work on this issue as we can. Thank you.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, for the record, Marianne Nash from the Oregon Farm Bureau, breaking your microphone.
Everybody does it.
I don't know how I did that, and I will stop fussing with it. I apologize. Here today on the -3 amendments to 2213. So I wanted to say, to start off, we do support increased general fund dollars for ODF&W generally, but we have a tremendous interest in how those are spent and where they are invested. And so generally, we were following the task force conversations from a bit of a distance. But when it comes to actual investment of those dollars, our landowners have always had a really strong interest. As you know, many of the habitats and other land used by species in Oregon is privately owned, and so a lot of projects would need to be working with landowners to accomplish anything. And so my first question around the fund is, I don't think it has quite enough sideboards to ensure that it isn't duplicative of other funds accomplishing the same thing in the state. We have a tremendous investment in fish and wildlife restoration and recovery through OWEB and through OWEB investment dollars. They have grant funding that goes out. For that purpose, there's also investment by U.S. Fish and Wildlife, NRCS, NOAA Fisheries, and others. And so I think if we are creating any sort of fund, we need to make sure that those funds aren't being spent in a way that's duplicative, and making sure that we are really tracking where those dollars are being invested. In terms of where they are actually invested, we have been having conversations with ODF&W for a very long time around their tendency to tend toward acquisitions as a way of doing habitat work and habitat recovery. We'd like to see them focus more on working lands projects and projects where you can keep lands producing an economic value, but also see a fish and wildlife benefit and kind of have co-benefits. It's one of the reasons we're supporting the Oregon Ag Heritage Program this year, is it will accomplish both of those objectives. And so just generally within the fund, we'd like to see some sideboards, and talking to former Commissioner Labhart, who worked on this, I think they do have some ideas of where the money needs to go, and things like deferred maintenance that we would certainly support, but that's not clear in the bill, and what it's going to be spent on is not clear in the bill. Outside of that, it also creates the new committee. I think that it talks about having the commission decide the number and geographic representation. I'm not sure geographic's quite the right way to do it. I think that we've been working for a long time to get a landowner on the Fish and Wildlife Commission, and we have some great advocates there, but presently there's not somebody that owns land that's on the Fish and Wildlife, or that owns resource land on the Fish and Wildlife Commission. And so with that, keeping that in mind, we'd maybe like to see a little bit more of a focus on what types of interests or entities might be represented. And then additionally, they have a pretty broad charge. They're reviewing policies of fish and wildlife to make recommendations concerning the implementation of funds. We'd like to see some sideboards on that in terms of what policies are they reviewing, for what purpose, what are the recommendations looking like. And again, within that, our sideboards we'd really appreciate moving away from acquisitions, and looking more at, projects that have good co-benefits if there is actually investment in habitat. It looked like some of the investment priorities were things like deferred maintenance and other things that aren't direct on the ground investments in habitat. I guess within that, we'd just like to see a little more meat on the bones of the proposal before it moves forward. To make sure that it isn't a waste of resources, that it is going to the areas that have been identified as needs, and that there are pretty strong opportunities for diverse engagement within the advisory committee if one is formed.
Questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to close. Sorry. Mark Labhart, Claire Punchy. Good. And Jim Owens.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, my name is Mark Labhart. I'm not going to touch the microphone. I had the privilege of being a Tillamook County Commissioner for 12 years, and I was charged, I guess, with the privilege of chairing this task force, a 17-member task force. And I'm going to be very short with my comments because you've pretty well covered it with the previous speakers. This legislation does one thing and one thing only. It addresses the ongoing and growing funding crisis that ODF&W is experiencing to reduce the reliance on fees, hunting and fishing fees, to fund the agency. That's the major purpose of this thing. And as you may know, there's two more license fees that are planned to be increased. Will this bill solve the problem? No. The 17-member committees included Senator Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, Representative Krieger, and the leadership was tremendous by Representative Helm in helping to do this. And I just can't thank him enough for the efforts that he's put into keeping this bill alive in the session. We met once a month in this room for 2,000 hours. That's what the entire group met. We took our charge seriously. We had representative from Columbia Sportswear, from Leupold Stevens, commercial, recreation fishers, urban, rural. It was from all over the state. And then we did a statistically valid survey to go out and talk to Oregonians and say, if you had everything that you wanted, how would you fund ODF&W? We went one step further. We went on a roadshow. We went and talked to the Farm Bureau. We went and talked to the League of Oregon Cities, to the Association of Oregon Counties. We went and talked to environmental groups, and we said, where should we go with this? How should the 17-member task force come back to the legislature, which you charged us to do, to produce a report that talked about how do we maintain ODF&W in the tradition that we want it to be in and find long-term funding. So we did our homework. We put in the time. We ask you to help support this bill. It is important to Oregonians that I think that they should provide some help in general fund so that we don't put this on the backs of hunters and fishers to continually finance the conservation strategy throughout Oregon. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Claire Pucci, and I was a member of the task force, and it was a privilege for me to serve on the task force and to work on this legislation. As you all know, it's in the public interest to have healthy populations of fish and wildlife, native fish and wildlife species and habitats to sustain them. Fish and wildlife, that's a public resource. It belongs to everybody in the state. And indeed, it's even state law, it's state policy that to not allow the depletion of any indigenous species and to also provide recreational benefits to the citizens and into the future. And of course, this takes sound science, it takes monitoring, it takes a lot of money as well to do this. And as has been said many times before, hunters and anglers have long really footed a large part of this bill over the years. But there's never been a real sizable, reliable source of funding for the 88% of the species in the state that are not hunted and angled. And I'm talking about some of the fishes, the amphibians, the reptiles, the birds, the mammals, some of the invertebrate species that make up and comprise healthy ecosystems that we all depend on. And so to monitor and to study these species and get ahead of the threatened and endangered species status and the listings that are so costly, it's much cheaper to get ahead of this as we can rather than to find ourselves in a real bind and then really impact private landowners, et cetera. But right now, there's really not a way for people who do not hunt or fish to really help support these programs. And so that's one of the things that the task force, as many people have said before, worked on. The state is really proud of its Oregon conservation strategy and the marine component, the nearshore strategy. We're really set to go to implement. The money is just simply not there. And some of the other reasons why this is so timely and so necessary, as you all know, kids are spending more time in front of their computers. Through the public survey that we did, we know that Oregonians and others are being more disconnected to the natural world. And as hunting and angling license revenues decline, part of the reason is because people are not getting out in the outdoors and having that connection through those kinds of recreational experiences. So I'm going to be short because I would just be repeating what others have said, but I think this is a real opportunity to start getting us back on footing and to form some of these really important coalitions, hunters, anglers, non-hunters, non-anglers, wildlife watchers, kids, businesses. I think this is good for Oregon's economy. It's good for all Oregonians, and as our population grows, I think this is an opportune time to get ahead of that curve. Jim?
Okay. Chair Williamson, committee members, I'm Jim Owens with Cogan Owens Green in Portland, and Representative Kennemer, my partners Kirsten Green and Bob Wise required me to say hello to you.
And please extend my appreciation for that. And greetings to them. Excuse me. Thank you.
I had the honor of facilitating the task force, and I've just tore up my testimony in the interest of time, and I just want to respond to the questions about the advisory committee that's proposed in the bill. So the concept here is to replicate something like the Salmon Enhancement Board created by the legislature to advise the department. And the department has at least one other legislatively mandated advisory body. And the whole intent is to make sure we have somebody making sure that the spending of this money is in line with the task force recommendations. And what we recommended is that at least half the funds go to improving conservation. Approximately 25% go to improving fish and wildlife. The remainder be split between improving communications and engaging Oregonians in the outdoors and addressing the deferred maintenance backlog. So we were very specific in how we recommended this money be spent, and we would hope that the advisory committee would be the eyes and ears to make sure that spending is in line with our recommendations, because we spent a lot of time on that. It would also allow further evaluation of the recommendations we made for program adjustments and for partnering and leveraging funds from other agencies. And it would also provide the match for the federal legislation that was mentioned earlier. So the National Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies created a nationwide blue ribbon panel and has introduced legislation into Congress, languishing at the moment. So it would provide money to state conservation programs on a match basis, and our match would be approximately $11 million. So it would set us up for that. And then finally, I think what it would do is it would allow us to hit the ground running with some projects to demonstrate that we're spending the money in line with the expectations of the task force and House Bill 2213. Thank you.
Questions? Yes, Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Mark, well, anyone on the panel. So we had an inordinate amount of crop damage over in eastern Oregon this year because of the weather and the elk and deer damage to the ranchers. And so none of this money, as I read the bill, would be used for helping out those that had the crop damage and the loss over there, but it would be more for habitat and other things. So I'm asking, you know, as far as reimbursement, because I'm hearing a lot from the ag community over there about the frustration that they have that the animals, you know, continue to eat up the crops, and they can't get reimbursed for it, you know. And agriculture is one of those things where, you know, the amount they get for their crops are limited. You know, they can't just raise the price of their crops because they need to make more profit. And so how would this funding help that at all?
Representative Wilson, members of the committee, I can't personally answer that question, but we do have the director of the department here, and he's prepared to answer those technical questions. So I just want to make sure. I don't want to speculate and say something that's not actually correct, but the director is here. You know, it's going into the conservation strategy, and to say specifically, is it going to go to repair or pay for damaged hay crops or elk damage or deer damage? I can't specifically answer that question, so I don't want to try to speculate and give you the wrong answer. But the director is here, and he could answer that
question. That's okay. He's well aware of this, so I'm sure he can answer that question.
So, sir, I just don't want to give you some kind of impression that's not correct.
All
right, thank you, and thank you for all your work on this. All right. I am going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2213 and open a work session on House Bill 2213.
Madam Chair, I move the -3 amendment to House Bill 2213.
Vice Chair McLean has moved the -3 amendment to House Bill 2213. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2213 with a due pass as amended recommendation, and the measure be referred to Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair McLean has moved House Bill 2213 with a due pass as amended recommendation, and that the measure be referred to Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion?
Can we have a short recess?
We have a motion on the table. Discussion. Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I think I would agree with Marianne Nash, where I think there needs to be some refinement to this. It's not ready for prime time, and yet I understand the value of it, and I'll be a no on it. It'll pass down to Ways and Means, but I do think it needs a bit more work before it's finalized. So.
Vice Chair McLean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in the spirit of Bob Jensen, who was the Ways and Means sub on Natural Resources, guy for our caucus for years and years, he was constantly frustrated at the reduction in general fund and the passing of the burden of Natural Resources committees, and specifically ODFW, onto fee-based funding. And when I was a first-year member, Bob was the co-chair, and would readily summon me to his office to show me how the general fund reduction. And so he's right. Senator Roblin is right in his dissertation. If the only way that we can come up with a good way is to restore some of the general fund to it by prioritizing our cost containment efforts, then we should. However, knowing that there has to be some sort of compromise, I think this may be a good way to do it. I will say I do believe Representative Barreto is correct. We do need some work on it. I hope our chair in the sub, it's probably going to go to Representative Witt, is that right, Natural Resources? So I guess we'll chat with him about that. But I'll support it today, and I will do so in fond memory of my service with Representative Jensen, who is still alive, by the way.
I was going to make that comment if you didn't clear that up.
But
yes, Representative Kenemer.
Yet I think we've increasingly had trouble funding that mission, and the number of particularly hunters has been diminishing. I think we need to figure out how we're going to broaden the base, and I think this is a good effort to look at doing that.
Great, thank you. Additional discussion.
On urban areas, canoe.
Can you call the roll, please?
Representative Brown?
No. Representative Pack?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative
Dose? Yes.
Representative
Smith-Warner?
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wakefield?
Excused.
Chair Williamson?
Aye.
Motion passes. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 2213. Erin, is there anything else in the good of the order?
Madam Chair, that we have completed our work for today, but I do want to let you know that I have come to visit all of your offices today to let you know that we are going to add a third meeting to our regularly scheduled agenda starting next week. We are going to be meeting on Wednesdays from 3 to 4:45 in this hearing room till the end of session.
How can you say that with a smile on your face?
Because this committee is awesome. What are you talking about?
So, all right. So just plan for that.
Thanks.
Neat.
Thanks.
Neat.
So, all right. So just plan for that.